On this episode, we're going to talk about the 2015 National League Rookie of the Year, the Manager of the Year, and the Cy Young Award winner. We will look at some of the options that the Cubs have with free agent pitching this offseason. We'll discuss some news about the changes in Cubs radio broadcasts and share some details on the changes that will be coming up with Cubs TV broadcasts. We'll have a scary stat of the week, internet muscle flexes, and lots more. This is the 365th episode of the IV Envy Podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
Hey, and this is Kurt.
We are each in our own locations, and we stream our recordings live. You can like our Facebook page. Go to ivmv.com/Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter at IVMV, and we will share the links to our live broadcast when we go live. Usually it's on Sunday evenings at 8 p.m., but in the off season, it's a little more unpredictable. And, this weekend it's Wednesday. I guess we just fit it in when we can.
Happy Monday tomorrow.
Right. I'll tell you what, your work week is going to feel really short by listening to this podcast on Thursday morning.
It's been an action packed week for us. It's hard to pack all the action in.
Right. Are you talking about all the awards that the Cubs are winning, Andy?
No, I was not.
He wasn't even trolling.
I wasn't even trolling at that moment. I was just referring to our busy lives, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I had a kid birthday, so that was kind of a big moment.
Oh, man.
On Sunday.
The one-year-old?
Yep. Big one-year-old birthday party last weekend.
Lots of tears?
No. Well, not emotional tears, maybe tears of pain.
Well, that's what I meant.
Nonstop moving. Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
So anyways, if you want to watch these things live, again, follow us on our social networks, or you can go to ivmv.com/live at that time. Before we get into everything, last year we did a Movember campaign. The three of us are not doing it. If you're watching live, you can tell that Kurt, I don't think people couldn't see our mustaches until like the third week of November.
I have a full beard right now. You just can't see it.
And Andy, you shaved, man. You're looking pretty smooth over there.
Okay. Yeah. I was hoping you would fill in the blank. You're looking, I did today.
Andy shaves every few hours.
I'm letting everything else grow out though.
So we're not doing a Movember campaign this year, but one of our listeners, Justin, is doing it. And if you care about men's health issues, then go to the post for this episode at ivmv.com and you will find the link to, his campaign. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, we had Michael from Galesburg and, the Awesome 80s podcast on, and we looked back at the predictions that we made about the 2015 Cubs before the season started. We kind of talked about maybe having a different format. Didn't we talk about that on that episode? Having a different format. We must have, because we got an email about it. A different format for those predictions next year. And Shannon from Fayetteville, Tennessee says, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to your 2015 predictions recap episode this week. But while I was listening, I couldn't help but come up with a couple of ideas of how you could alter the format. So here they are. Or maybe Shannon's just giving them to us unsolicited. That's possible too. Shannon says you should keep the over under format, but require specific guesses in each prediction. Sorry, Corey, no ambiguity. Anyone to guess the exact right answer ends up getting a bonus point. I kind of like that idea. I can get on board with that. The other idea that I had to add more weight to the importance of the win-loss prediction is that for every number you are off in the win column is how many points you subtract from your total at the end.
Who would have had like negative points?
I know. I think we would do better in future, like from here on out. I think we would probably do a lot a lot better.
Sure.
No doubt.
Or maybe for like every couple losses at some point or something.
We really didn't know that so many impact players would be on the team as quickly as they were and be as impactful as they were.
Impact players being impactful.
That's what they do, Andy.
I like it. Yeah, that's they just impact stuff.
Right. So the question is, will we remember these changes in about 4 months, 5 months?
Seems unlikely, but we'll try.
Yeah, maybe Shannon could send another email like sometime in March to remind us.
Put it on the Google calendar.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about impactful players and managers. Lots of Cubs, a clean sweep, I guess, of the awards this week. Did you guys happen to watch those awards on MLB Network?
No, I did not watch a minute of it.
Oh my gosh, it was so painful. And I mean, at first I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, because it's like, I guess I haven't really watched much of the MLB Network in the off season, so I was like, oh, you know, hey, it's baseball. They're talking baseball. And normally, like, I guess so far my in all of my baseball entertainment has been through podcasts. So I started watching it, but oh my gosh, it was so bad, and they just dragged stuff out. And it's like, after this commercial, we're going to find out who, you know, and then it goes, and then like they come back and go through all their stats again. When we come back, we'll award. It's like, oh my God. It's so bad.
Really bad game show.
Right. Well, I mean, okay. Never. So they announced in both of those, or in all three awards, they announced, you know, the AL winner and the NL winner. And it took a full hour for them to do both things.
I love the option of, or I mean, the method of finding out via Twitter notifications.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that.
That's how I got it too.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, I think I didn't watch Bryant. I mean, I knew he was going to win, so I didn't really pay attention to that one, but I watched
Sparkle
the other
Hard.
Two. Yeah. So, I don't know. Okay, so at the beginning, you mentioned something about how Andy was perhaps trolling. Do you want to let people in on what you're referring to, Kurt?
Oh, well, I think I was doing most of the trolling, but, well, I texted about how, like, we're going to have a lot to talk about, and you didn't seem super interested in that about the awards side of things. You're kind of in one of your crabby moods the other night. And so yeah, basically from whenever that was, two nights ago till today, we've just been going back and forth about how long this conversation may or may not take. If it were up to Corey, it would be over before it started.
There was a cold southerly wind blowing in.
But I wanted to give it a little bit of time here.
Well,
I think we're probably both fairly in agreement, to be serious, that yeah, we're not going to go over every single stat of every of each of the players. But
right, okay, so forget how much we're going to talk about it. How excited are you about these awards?
I was pretty excited when, especially after tonight, just that. I guess it's kind of like validation of what we already knew, that
you didn't know it already. You had no idea. Chris Bryant was really good.
So
you didn't
like,
know
okay,
Joe Maddon was a good manager. Right. You didn't know Jake Arrieta was a great pitcher. You didn't know this stuff, Kurt. You were like, you saw it on Twitter, like, oh man, these guys were actually good.
So basically what you're arguing is that there should be no Hall of Fame. We already knew they're good. Why do we need to put them in a hall with stone heads? You know, we don't need, or bronze heads, we don't need to do that.
No
stupid Hall of Fame.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying
I have other. Do you want to get into my issues with the Hall of Fame?
No. It's validation of something we already knew. It's like the rest of the world taking notice that yes, the Cubs are that good, and it's saying that this is, I think this is the best season a team could have without winning the World Series.
It's the best season a team could have and finish third place in their division.
Yes, exactly.
That's for
all
sure.
Of the above. And it's also recognizing the other side of baseball is you don't always recognize individual performances usually because it's a team
right.
sport, but this is a time when individuals get to stand up and say, thanks, you know, yeah, it was decent.
Dude, I mean, it's super exciting. I mean, to have three players that were among, if not the best in baseball in their particular category.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, two players and a manager. But man, I mean, it's awesome.
It is cool. I guess here's where I was coming at with it. Was it like, you know, I think like some years past, I thought it was kind of cool when like Soto was named the rookie of the year. I don't remember it being that big of a deal though.
Well, Pinella won manager that year too.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I guess I just look at it this way. The reason I don't get that excited about it is we knew that those guys were good at what they do. We knew that Chris Bryant was amazing. We know that Joe Maddon is probably the best manager in the National League, if not right up there. You know, I mean, to be honest, I'll probably get some hate for this, but I think that Joe Maddon and Mike Matheny were probably equally deserving of that award. But I don't know. I guess I just don't care. You know, like it's great. But like, I just feel like this season was so much fun. And the team was so good this year that like these things are okay, I guess, but it doesn't really affect what I think about the 2015 season. You know what I mean?
You're not an individual performances type of guy. You're a team performance type of guy.
I don't even know if it's so much that. I guess it's just that I knew Chris Bryant was good, and I think I agree
with you there. I mean, Chris Bryant, that was unanimous. I mean, nobody would argue with that. I think the Cy Young was maybe a little more exciting. Like, you could have given it to any three, particularly Greinke, and we wouldn't have had an argument. I think you even said that. But, you know, the fact that he edged out, this is probably one of the best crop of three players that were eligible for the Cy Young.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe ever. I mean, you know, the guy got second, had a 1.66 ERA.
right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool. And I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than it is, but I think the Cy Young is probably, to me, the biggest accomplishment of the three.
Yeah. I guess I just don't, like, I suppose what it is that I'm happy for the individual players. You know, I think this is a really cool thing for Chris Bryant, and Rookie of the Year is one of the, to me, I think, kind of one of the top awards that you can win, too, because you're only eligible to win it once. A Cy Young, a MVP, those things, you know, you could win multiple times. Well, you're only going to get one shot to be a Rookie of the Year, and there's a lot of deserving, you know, there's a lot of rookies that are good, but there was just one that happened to be better, and that was their only shot. So, I mean, I think it's cool, and I think it's really cool that Jake Arrieta won the Cy Young. Past like just kind of being happy for them as individuals, I just don't really care too much.
I guess one last point and then I'll shut up about it. But like, I think the other nice thing about the Rookie of the Year is that everybody went into this. Everybody thought Bryant was as good. There's so much hype around him. He was like, you know, the star prospect. In other years, you can't say Giovanni Soto was expected to win Rookie of the Year when he won it. Even like Jerome Walton, like he was a good player, but you know, he's like third round pick or something. So in this case, it's kind of nice to maybe shut up some haters that, you know, these were good picks, these are good players, these are superstar players, and this is just the beginning of it. So maybe there's some...
See, I would have been more excited about it if, like, the top three would have been Bryant, Soler, and Russell. You know, like, like if it would have been, like, a clean sweep by the Cubs, I think that would have been exciting.
Among the nominees?
Yeah.
A clean sweep of the nominees. Yeah. I mean,
the fact that Grichuk didn't win is pretty much.
I know that tells you how garbage this award is. Do you guys think that this would have any influence on potential free agent signings? These accolades.
I think maybe the manager of the year would. Because I think that players can look and see. They know that Chris Bryant's good. They've seen him. Probably played against him. And I think that they know Jake Arrieta is good, but I think that your play could be impacted by the manager. And so I think that award probably would be, if any of them was to have an effect, I would think it'd be that one. But what do you guys think?
I would say it doesn't hurt. Certainly not.
Sure, yeah.
Right. I mean, wouldn't you like to go play with these guys and be, you know, be on a team with these guys that have received these awards and these, this recognition? I don't think it hurts at all. In fact, I think it could be kind of attractive to a lot of guys out there.
Well, and the other side of it is, like, you know, all the people are talking about the Cubs right now, mm-hmm. you know, in late November, and these free agent pitchers are paying attention too. Like, what do you think? They're just sitting around in their winter home watching TV. So they're right. seeing all the hype around the Cubs, and that's going to
right. I boost think, it. I think that by the Cubs sweeping these awards, you know that this team is getting media attention, and you know that you're going to get that media attention if you go there, where, you know, they're in no way are they flying under the radar. And I think that's what you're probably going to hear a lot of Cardinals fans complain about, is the media swinging from the Cubs nuts. But I mean, that's they are. And so I think you just know that's what you're going to. I think you know that you're going into a team and a city and an organization that you're going to get, if you play well, you're going to get accolades yourself, probably.
Mm-hmm. It's a media feast.
Right, right. All right. Well, I'll just leave the other hour of material I had prepared on the table, and we can move forward.
No, I thought that's what this whole episode was going to be, Kurt. Let's just keep talking about awards.
No, I just feel like I'm taking over, and this is, you know, this isn't a dictatorship.
Was that enough? Did we talk about it enough? Do you feel satisfied?
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready.
All right. I don't want to shortchange you. Let's just keep dragging out this awkwardness. And mm-hmm. Everybody I listening to this sitting in their
car. I told you in one of the texts I sent, you sounded like a Cardinals fan. It's like, oh, this is how we play the game the right way. We expect these things. And so when we win,
I never said that.
We don't make a big, act like you've been there before. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Like you've been there. You know, quit making such a big deal about stuff.
I don't believe I ever said that.
No, I just implied.
right. All right. Well, moving on. We did get some news this week outside of these awards, which I think are very deserving of our discussion tonight, Kurt. I guess first off that I guess we kind of have, when it comes to the media stuff, we have some short-term stuff and some long-term stuff to look at. First off, the Cubs stint with WBBM just came up just short of as far as the length of contract that they had with WGN. Just almost so close.
What a lot of people don't know is that the Cubs were broadcast by WBBM prior to 1948. So there was a span of time that they were with WBBM before their long-term deal with WGN. They've been with them since 1948. But the Cubs signed a 7-year deal with WBBM. But then the White Sox switched their radio deal from the Score, which is AM 670, to WLS AM 890. CBS owns WBBM 780 and the Score 670. So the Cubs broadcasts are going to be moved to the Score 670, which makes sense because it's an all sports network. 780 is all news. So coverage of the Cubs had to be somewhat limited sometimes and interrupted. And so them moving to the Score is going to mean that the coverage can be more expansive and that, you know, they can kind of take the time covering the Cubs to the fullest extent possible.
Right. For instance, things like maybe a longer pregame and postgame.
Talking about awards for a long time.
Right. Well, I would imagine that you would probably get a little, I don't know this to be true. And I think I honestly don't listen to the Score. I don't personally like sports talk radio. But Bob, our friend Bob and Moline, he does listen to the Score. And I asked him if he thought that this would kind of like change the slant of the individual shows and hosts and how they cover the Cubs and stuff like that. I think he told me that he didn't think it would have that big of an impact. I don't know. But I think that you will get a more like Cubs centric, more Cubs talk, I guess, on there because they are the flagship station. And then I had said something on our Facebook page about how I thought that was probably a good thing for people downstate or outside of Chicagoland because, for me, I don't really get WBBM very well, but 670 comes in really clear. And then, but quite a few people like downstate said that they are not able to get the score. So I'm not, do you guys have any input or do you even try to listen to
the score? No, it does. I'm too far. I mean, I could sort of get WGN fuzzy when they were there, but I think WGN's one of the biggest, you know, whatever length of broadcast. But so for me, it'll just be a different, it'll be the same and just probably be on the same affiliate here.
Right.
I get the score better than WBBM.
Yeah,
for sure. So I'm glad about it.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess for the most part, I'm probably going to listen to it through the MLB at bat app. Mm-hmm. So I,
same here
for the most part, but I do sometimes in the car, you know, especially to save on data and stuff like that, I'll listen to the radio broadcast. So, but you're right. I mean, I probably will more likely listen to it, just on my local Cubs radio network affiliate. So
I will say I much prefer the Chicago ads against the local affiliate ads. So if I could, I would listen to it.
That's true. And it's almost, but you know, I don't like what the app does for ads either.
Especially, yeah, those like replays of old clips they do now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so annoying.
The MLB vault. Yeah.
And the volume is lower than everything else. The same three every inning.
Yeah. So that, anything else to add on the radio stuff there, Andy?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. And then, Crane Kenny, he shared some news about, perhaps a Cubs TV network down the road.
Yeah. So for the most part, nothing's changing on the TV side for a while. The contracts run through 2020 that they currently have. But what he said, was that once those contracts run up, he said, we'll move over and launch our own channel in 2020. And we kind of, a lot of people have kind of guessed that that may be the route they take, but I think this is the first time he's actually said it. Theo was asked about it later when they're at the meetings, and he was a little bit less forward, but really that's not his, you know, area. He just kind of said, okay, we'll see. So yeah, but it's looking pretty certain they'll start their own network. I think that has some pluses and some minuses, and we can cover a lot of that later, but it'll be probably a significant revenue boost when it does happen. I saw one source said they're looking for about $1 million a game. So 162 million a year, that's pretty easy math. And the downside of your own network is that's not all money in the bank because you have to run the network. So you have to, you know, hire the people and buy the equipment, all that stuff. And you have to have content 24 hours a day or,
right.
You have to fill it. So, yeah, so it's not all revenue, but it's certainly a lot of money.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out because they could do a lot of really neat things. I mean, you could have like a lot of historic Cubs baseball games shown in the off season or when there's not regular games on, lots of replays. You know, you could have Coombdog because it could get his own talk show. You never, you know. Well, you'd probably see Ryan Dempster with a night,
Ryan
a nighttime,
doing impressions,
a late night show, right?
For 14 hours,
right? But it kind of opens up the, you know, a whole lot of opportunities and a lot of things they could do if it's done well. It could be neat. The weird thing is that Kurt, you can, you know, speak more about this than I can, but I just wonder what television is going to look like in 3 years or 5 years, you know, like television is changing and the way that we consume media is changing so much. And it's almost like, I really hope that it wouldn't be one of those things where like they start their own network and then, some other opportunity arises, you know, like just that would not be the most, I guess, financially beneficial route to go.
My guess is, and I really don't know a lot about that, my guess is starting your own network, at least you have control then versus like if you sign with a traditional media company like, let's say, Fox, and they're cable heavy, they're satellite heavy, you're kind of stuck in that medium. And like you said, everything's changing so rapidly. At least if it's your network,
right,
you get to negotiate and say where you are and on what platform. The problem, I mean, really, streaming is the next generation. We're all going to be streaming in who knows how long, but you know, you just have to get past the blackout restrictions. And I think that'll happen probably by the time this deal
goes through.
And so,
although some,
I guess it's like, it'll be like we're talking about with radio. We'll like, oh, who cares what it's on? Cause we're just going to stream it.
Yeah. I kind of agree with the blackout restrictions will go away. And then MLB Advanced Media does something weird, like have like Twitter accounts and Vine accounts taken down because they had video of MLB games, you know, like a GIF. So I don't know, that move really concerned
it pretty tight control.
Yeah, but it's such a weird thing because baseball was Major League Baseball is always so far behind in as far as like digital media goes and everything. And it seemed like they came a long ways within just a couple of years. And then that move here towards the end of this baseball season is kind of concerning to me. Because you have people like advertising and promoting your product. Mm-hmm. Nobody's making money off of like tweeting a GIF. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole different discussion, I guess.
You guys are doing it wrong. I made a bunch of money off of GIFs this season. You should have talked to me about monetizing your GIFs.
So yeah, that's the media stuff, and I think the radio thing, and I don't, Andy, did you say how long of a contract that is? I didn't even see.
Seven years.
Okay. So I think we'll learn more about the television stuff like every off season, because this last off season, I went up for the bloggers forum that they with Crane Kenny, and I don't remember exactly what details, but he did give us a little bit of insight into, I think that's when he said, and it was kind of the first time I had heard it. He said that he thought that the blackout restrictions would be gone by the time the Cubs TV, current TV, contract was up. And so I really think like every off season we're going to learn a little bit more about what watching Cubs games will be like in 2020 and beyond. Because the weird thing about it too, I mean, if things don't really change and everybody's using DirecTV and cable and stuff like that, then, and you're not able to purchase the Cubs network like a la carte, then you really have to hope that Time Warner and DirecTV and all those companies pick up that network, which I don't really know how likely that would be, or I don't know. I guess that's just another aspect of it.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah,
but I guess this is one instance where the long contract that runs to 20 through 2019 is kind of working in their favor, because they get to learn from the mistakes of the other teams, particularly the Dodgers that made a ton of money, but that has been a mess ever since
You have people in your own city that can't watch the games.
So I think they're definitely paying attention to what other teams are doing, and they're learning from their mistakes. And it won't be perfect, but I think they'll do a lot better job than other teams have in the past.
Maybe. I think it depends on who's making those decisions.
Well, I think so. And one of the other things Crane said is like, he kind of hinted at the fact that like, this is my thing. Cause he's a lawyer and he started in broadcast media. So he was a broadcast media lawyer for like, I don't remember which network, but for Comcast or something. So this is kind of like his thing. So that's what he was kind of hinting at. Like, if anybody knows this stuff, it's me. So I'll get this one right.
No comment. All right, so moving on, over the last few weeks we've received a lot of email about, you know, questions about what we think the Cubs could potentially do in the offseason with free agent signings. And one of the reasons that I didn't ask for listener questions this week is I thought that everyone would probably be asking about free agents, specifically pitchers. So I thought this would be just a good time to look at what the Cubs' options are this offseason when it comes to pitchers. And before we get into the individual players, I think it's an interesting offseason for the Cubs for a lot of reasons. You can forget the fact that they have so many prospects to work with, and all of the different routes that they could make to make the team stronger. I think just the pitching alone is super interesting. Just ignoring like center field and Schwarber and what they can do with all that stuff. Like, I think just the pitching alone is really interesting. So, I mean, they have the prospects to trade for starting pitching. We're going to look at what their strategy would be with that, with trades and who they might target. But then they also have right now a very cheap team with tons of cheap young players that are under club control. And so they also have money to play with. And that's not to say that I don't think that Theo and Jed have a blank check and they can just go out and get Price, Greinke, and Hayward all at once. Although I think some fans think that that is something the Cubs should be able to do. Although they can't do that, I think they're not quite as restricted, I guess, as some other teams might be. And we talked last year about how the Cubs were in a position to overspend on someone like Lester, and they probably did overspend on Lester. And I think they're somewhat in that position again. I just think it's really interesting how many options they have this year, and lots of free agent options. And I think last year it was pretty clear that the Cubs were going to go out and get John Lester. And I think initially, maybe a month ago, I assumed that David Price was a lock to be in a Cubs uniform next year. I think if you pay attention to what he says, it's kind of clear that that's something that interests him. But the more you look at everything, I just think there's so many options, and I almost like some of the other options over Price right now. But so anyways, I don't know what I was getting at there. So I guess before we get into the specific players, do you guys have any thoughts on just kind of the big picture of acquiring pitching this offseason? I mean, at the end, we'll get into what we think the Cubs will or should do. But do you guys have any comments or thoughts on just kind of the overall where the Cubs are at with and what their options are?
Well, I think the big name pitcher is probably the biggest immediate impact on the team. And that's why the free agent pitchers, elite free agent pitchers, get so much attention. That's why we talk about them so much, is that, you know, you sign a guy like Price, I don't know what his WAR is projected, like 5-6, something like that. You're immediately got a 5-6 WAR player right off the bat. Of course, you have to pay for him, but that's where your impact's going to come immediately. You can build that WAR other ways, but it's more likely that a guy like that is going to give you that performance. So I just think that pitching is the sort of way, the where you'd spend the money, and then you can sort of piece together center field or another position.
And I think the ultimate goal is to build the pitching staff with an eye towards the playoffs, where you're going to have a team where any given guy that's going to go out there is a pitcher to be feared by the other team and can go out there and give you a great start in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree that that's where it was lacking this year. I mean, obviously the starting pitching got them through the regular season pretty well. And it didn't work as well in the playoffs. So, one more really solid arm to break up a couple of losses and get a win would be super helpful in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to derail our whole conversation. Andy, it just occurred to me, do you want to show the live viewers? Will you show them your shirt again?
Again?
Yes.
All right. This is the third time, but yes, I will.
Okay. Now, it didn't even occur to me until you guys were talking, but look at the shirt that I'm wearing.
Oh, nice.
What is it? It's like a band?
What does it say down there?
It's wolves and the moon.
I want to know what yours says, Corey.
Would now be a good time to reveal the t-shirt I have underneath?
Oh, wait, this is the long sleeve t-shirt. He's got another one underneath. No way.
So between the three hosts, we are wearing three wolf t-shirts.
Well, yeah. Andy's making
Kurt, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing?
I don't even own a wolf shirt. I do have wolf towels that you got me for my wedding present. I could grab one of those and just drape it over myself.
So for the non-live video viewers, Andy is wearing a wolf shirt, and
two.
Right, two actually. But I didn't realize it until we were recording and I looked at my, or you guys were talking and I looked at myself in my little video thing and I saw the like yellow thing sticking out and I was like, what the heck shirt am I wearing? And then I realized it's a wolf shirt. I saw the moon. The moon is like, you know, peeking through my
hoodie. Andy gets extra points for realism though. This is more.
I can't believe
the gigantic wolf above the forest.
It's less illustrative. That moon. Lord. It's also kind of cool because your mic light makes the moon glow.
It does. Oh yeah.
Here. There you go. Right there. Nice.
In the chat, Lauren says wolf shirts are the new Patreon perk.
Oh, that's a great idea. An IBD wolf shirt.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. How have we not thought about that?
I might be able to work something up like that on an original.
All right. So in the works, we have a IVMV Chuck Mangione shirt and an IVMV wolf shirt.
How about a wolf with a flugelhorn or whatever?
Oh yeah. What if it's like a wolf howling at the moon and like an out, like a silhouette of Chuck Mangione, you know, playing the flugelhorn into, oh man, I was listening to a,
Chuck is just playing the flugelhorn in the night. And he's also 68 feet tall, like that wolf is.
I was listening to a podcast. You guys listen to Song Exploder, don't you?
Yeah.
I think it was in this most recent episode of Song Exploder. He was talking to somebody and then the guy talked about how he worked in the flugelhorn and I thought he was going to talk about Chuck Mangione and I got so excited, but he didn't. Okay. All right. Back to baseball talk, but we'll put the wolf shirts away. I like that. Lauren says wolf Mangione. Okay. So, let's start off with the guy that I guess is widely considered the top free agent starting pitcher, David Price. And like I said, let's kind of hold off on our opinions on what the Cubs should do this offseason towards the end. So go ahead, Kurt.
Okay. So the way we kind of broke this down is, you know, a few reasons why they should sign him and then maybe a couple why they don't. And then we're going to talk about like a projected contract that he might go for. So the reasons that they should sign him, I think, are fairly obvious, but I'll run through these really quickly. He's, you know, ranked at the top of the free agent class. I mean, it's a strong free agent class with Greinke. So he's right at the top. That's debatable if he's number one or two in the pitching side. He was traded to Toronto last year, so he wasn't eligible for a qualifying offer. So that means if the Cubs sign him, they're not going to give up their first round draft pick. What they would if they signed Greinke or Zimmerman or Samardzija, they'd lose that number 28 pick. Let's see. He's a great guy, great teammate by all accounts. He'd fit right into this whole Cubs relaxed culture that Madden's brought in. There was a Toronto Sun writer who wrote an article titled "Why Blue Jays Nation Has Fallen in Love with David Price," and it's 1,500 words about how awesome he is. So I think that's pretty good evidence that he'd be a great teammate, and he's not going to disrupt the clubhouse or anything. We all know he's an elite level starter. He's been super consistent, a lot of innings over 8 years, which I suppose could be a good or bad thing. But I think the best projection of a pitcher's future innings ability is past performance. So even though he's got a lot of mileage on the arm, I think that's okay. Let's see. Steamer projects him at 5.3 WAR next year. He was 6.4 this year. In an amazing pitching year, he was fourth in baseball in ERA behind Arrieta, Greinke, and Kershaw. So he's right up there with those three guys. He had an 18-5 record. He has history with Madden. He's kind of said that the Cubs might be his first choice. So, I mean, I think from both sides, the sort of like baseball performance side and the makeup side, he'd be a great fit.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of, you know, thumbs up why they should. The reasons they maybe shouldn't is, you know, he's going to be really expensive. You're going to have, if you sign him, you're going to have a couple pitchers over 30 years old. He is I think just turned 30. So he's at the younger end of some of the free agents available. But you're going to have probably a 7-year deal, you know, and that means in 2022, you're going to be paying a couple of 36, 37 year old pitchers between 25 and 30 million each. So that's kind of tough to swallow. But, you know, outside of money, it's kind of hard to make the argument why you shouldn't sign him. He hasn't been the best in the playoffs. But again, I don't think that's a big enough deal to shy away.
Yeah, I kind of looked at him a little bit and looked at I looked at pitch velocity. And it was up in 2015 over the previous few years. And I think, you know, pitch velocity is a concern when you look at players 30 years old and you're looking at a long-term deal, and the velocity will go down. And so then it becomes, you know, what type of a pitcher will he become when that happens? And I think that Price is in kind of a good, I think that Price is somebody you might consider in that position, just because I think he's a smart pitcher. He's relied more on his off-speed stuff lately, and because it's been more effective, especially against right-handed hitters, he's been doing that. And so I think he will handle a velocity drop well, and he's already starting to work more with the off-speed stuff, and it's really allowed him to even out his splits. And essentially, at this point, he's as effective against right-handed batters as he is left-handed batters. So,
yeah, the changeup was a lot better, a bigger pitch for him this last year than it had been previously. And that's pretty typical. I mean, you know, guys like him come up and they throw hard and they strike out a lot of players, a lot of batters. And as they get around that 30, like you said, the velocity goes down. And so they're learning how to pitch differently. So you certainly don't want to be the team that's paying him $25 million to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think,
well, I think some pitchers can...
He's already made some of that progress, and I think he'll be fine.
Right, and I think some pitchers learn that quicker and are okay with going to the off-speed stuff more and developing it earlier and getting more comfortable with it than some of those guys that just don't want to give up the gas, which we'll get to them later. But I could kind of see Samardzija or somebody like that being that type of – although he does use his off-speed stuff okay, but I mean – I'm just trying to think of some guys that maybe wouldn't just kind of move to the off-speed things. Anything else? Anything?
Well, the last thing we're going to touch on is like potential contract. And I would say it's probably in the neighborhood of 7 years, $200 million. Scherzer was 7 for $210 million. And that contract was built sort of in a deferred manner, so it's paid out over a longer period. My guess is that that's probably a starting point for negotiations, that somewhere in that 2 to 210 neighborhood.
Yeah, and I think it would actually, I don't know how much, you see a lot of contracts backloaded and everything, and I almost wonder if the Cubs wouldn't be in a position to kind of have some of that towards the beginning of the contract, because for one, it makes a player easier to move down the road. But I think they have a little bit more, they have more flexibility with their payroll right now. And so maybe you want to get some chunks of that, some decent chunks of that contract paid for now. I don't know.
But then the flip side is you know you've got more money coming on.
That's true.
In 2020. So the last 2 years could be pretty weighted.
But you're also paying guys like league minimum right now.
it's true, but can you imagine the 2020 season, if you got a couple of 37-year-old pitchers that are making 25 to 30 million each?
Right.
Like, people are just going to love that.
Yeah.
But it's the price you have to pay in today's market. To be good now, you've got to pay for it later.
Yep. The other main top line starter on the market is Zach Greinke. So tell us about Greinke, Andy.
Yeah, reasons that they should sign Greinke. He's a good pitcher. Reasons why they shouldn't. He's going to be expensive. And that's it. What do you guys think? No.
I think we should have spent that little time on the awards. We've talked about those for too long.
Greinke is he's obviously, he had a great 2015, as the Cy Young could have easily been given to him and easily justified. But yeah, he had a 1.66 ERA in 2015 and 200 strikeouts, and had a 9.3 WAR, which was higher than Arrieta's, kind of Arrieta-like numbers there. But anyway, the guy's had six seasons of 15 or more wins in his career as a starter. And he would be a veteran presence. He has 58.1 innings pitched of postseason ball as well. So, I mean, he's a great pitcher, but he's, you know, maybe some reasons why they shouldn't sign him. He has a 12-year career already and almost 2,100 innings pitched at age 32. Speaking of 32-year-olds, you know, there's some other 32-year-olds available, like Edwin Jackson. but anyway, other reasons why they maybe shouldn't sign Greinke is his first name is actually Donald. So I don't really care for that.
Wait a minute. Is it, would he spell it with two N's though? Don? Maybe he could fill in the double N Don, you know,
Don Roach.
Yeah. Fill in for Don Roach.
He's a kind of a, people question whether he is a good clubhouse guy, and you'll find, arguments for both sides of that. He seems like kind of your classic introvert, where he's not a man of many words. There are instances of him, you know, being a good team player and kind of sticking up for his teammates, you know, when there's a heated rivalry or a heated game going on. But he's also done things like throwing Yasiel Puig's suitcase into the street, apparently. I found that on the internet. There's a book by an author named Molly Knight called The Best Team Money Can Buy or something like that. And so there's some stuff in there about him chucking Yasiel Puig's suitcase into a street. But anyway.
Well, and he has like, doesn't he have like a social anxiety disorder or something? He has some sort of. You just don't hear him like interviewed very often. He wasn't on the Cy Young thing today, like Arrieta and Kershaw were on there, but he wasn't. I don't think he's totally comfortable with a lot of attention, and I don't know.
Yeah. So, given the fact that he's 32 and has a 12-year career already, his contract obviously is expected to be a little bit shorter time span than that of Price. He's expected to command somewhere between 125 to 150 million over like a 5-year to maybe 6-year deal. But 5 years seems pretty, I don't know, it seems like a lot of teams might be interested, you know, in a contract of that span, but that is still a healthy paycheck.
Yeah. And it's really kind of an interesting situation because he opted out of his contract with the Dodgers, and he had 3 years and $71 million left on it, and he knew that he could get more. So, and I mean, he just had a great season, so his value is high. So if you can get two or three more years,
But you know what? Right. It's definitely not just one season. Yeah, he had maybe the best season of his career outside of, I think it was 2009 when he had a 10.4 WAR. But I think some of his other numbers are better even than that season. But like I said, I mean, the guy has six seasons of winning 15 or more games throughout his career.
Well, forget his WAR, Andy, because you know he won a Cy Young, and according to Kurt, that means everything. He won three
Cy Youngs.
I didn't know that.
He won three in one season, Corey. So there, and that's important.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting because he knew that he could get two or three more years at probably the same amount per year. And so that's why he opted out of it. And there's recently been some talk. I kind of thought when he opted out of it that he would still end up with the Dodgers. But I guess there's been some news lately where maybe he won't go back to the Dodgers. Seems like they would be a team ready to pay up, you know.
What'd you say, Corey?
It seems to me like they're a team that would pay for him.
Yeah.
I mean, they already are paying for them, so.
Yeah, and I saw some things online indicating that there was a chance for him coming back to L.A. But anyway, that's all I have to say about Greinke.
Okay. So I think we'll kind of lump the rest of them together, and by the rest, I mean the next few starters available, Jordan Zimmermann, Johnny Cueto, and Jeff Samardzija. We know that the Cubs have looked at Zimmermann in the past. They were reportedly in talks with the Nationals last offseason about a trade. He had a bit of a down season in 2015. It wasn't disastrous, but you almost wonder if that could drive down his price a little bit, similar to Jeff Samardzija. And I don't mean to breeze past Zimmermann so quickly, but I think that these two are kind of in a similar position. Before the 2015 season, when you were looking ahead to Zimmermann's free agency, a lot of people projected him to get a Lester-type contract. But then kind of a poor showing this year and in 2015, that may push that down a little bit. But on the other hand, bidding could get out of control like it tends to do with free agents, and he really could end up getting that type of deal. But I think that Zimmermann and Samardzija both lost some value this season, and that's a good opportunity for the Cubs because, number one, you might be able to get these guys to take a shorter contract, especially Samardzija, because if he could get back to things, you know, kind of back on track and where he was with the help of Bosio, he might be able to get a bigger deal in a few years, especially because although he's 31 years old in this upcoming season, he's only been a starter for four seasons. And because he was a two-sport athlete in college, his arm is still pretty young. So to put it into perspective, David Price has thrown over like 1,440 innings or something, somewhere around in there. I think it was 1,440. And Samardzija has thrown 991. So almost a third of the a third fewer innings than David Price has thrown. So I think that you could look at Samardzija and think maybe he could take a shorter deal in hopes to gain some value. But I think if he was going to do that, maybe he would have taken the qualifying offer from the White Sox, unless he wanted to get away from Cooper, their pitching coach over there. I'm not sure you want to stick with the pitching coach that has told you to do things that resulted in a lower strikeout rate and a higher walk rate and a higher home run rate and ERA and FIP jumping dramatically. he was not good. But I think that signing Samardzija and or Zimmermann, well, first off, it would result in, like you said earlier, Kurt, a loss of a draft pick because both of them rejected qualifying offers. But I think those are actually good options. The other option that we'll talk about is Johnny Cueto, whose signing would not result in the loss of a draft pick. And for a guy like me that doesn't watch a lot of baseball games outside of Cubs games, and I don't really have the time to stare at stats all day long, Cueto is kind of hard to get a good read on. He's been both very good and very bad. Again, he's a guy that at one time was projected to get Lester type money, but he had a terrible stretch in the regular season for the Royals, and then he had some bad showings in the playoffs. He had good one, but some bad ones too. And there was some discussion that Cueto didn't like working with Perez, the Royals catcher, and that could have been a factor as to why he wasn't playing very well. But for me, I think it's almost more of a warning, it's a warning light rather than an explanation, if that makes any sense. You know, what if he doesn't work well with Montero? What if he only works well with David Ross? Does that mean that David Ross starts 40% of Cubs games in 2016? And we know that Schwarber isn't the best behind the plate. And if that's where he ends up, what if Cueto can't pitch to him? So I don't know. I'm really not too high on Cueto. And I should have prefaced this entire episode by saying that free agency stuff is really not anything that particularly interests me, like awards and things like that.
Nothing interests you.
No topic tonight was of interest.
Well, and I think it's because, especially at this stage of free agency, everything is speculation, lots of vague rumors. And I think if I was a baseball writer, this stuff would interest me way more. But I feel like it's kind of a waste of time for me to sit on the edge of my seat and wait for developments and rumors on players that will most likely not sign with the Cubs. And I guess I bring that up to say that I don't really pay close attention to the free agency rumors. And but I haven't. Even though I don't pay much attention, I haven't really heard anything about the Cubs being in on Cueto. But it might be that one of those things where he's not at the top of their list, or maybe is, I don't know. But maybe if he's not, perhaps the guys on the top of their list get picked off by other teams, and then they end up looking at him. So,
yeah, I think he's a backup. I think you're right there. Yeah,
I honestly would be really surprised if the Cubs were in on him. I guess that's just kind of a brief rundown of some of the Cubs' options when it comes to starting pitching free agents. And another thing to consider is that the Cubs have a lot of prospects to use as currency, and the Cubs could add to their rotation through trades.
Yeah, and I think one of the nice targets would be Cleveland. Cleveland's in has some holes to fill, and they have a lot of young pitching. And you know, the benefit to that is cost control versus paying an older pitcher a ton of money, like we talked about earlier. If you get a guy with some control, you know, even pre-arbitration eligible, that's not a lot of money. The problem with that is that Cleveland is a small market team. I mean, they're towards the bottom in payroll. So if they're going to trade you a cheap player, they're going to need cheap players in return. So you're not talking about major league contract players. You're probably talking about like a big prospect pool package that they're going to put together for one of those young pre-arbitration guys. And that's kind of, to me, a tough sell because these guys are super valuable. So just kind of the rundown on their staff is they got Kluber, who I think is pretty much off the table. Carrasco, who's 28. Salazar, who's 25. Bauer, who's 24. And Anderson, who's 25. All of those guys are either signed or pre-arbitration eligible, so they're under team control for 4 to 6 years. So you know, these are pretty enticing options. I think Carrasco is, I suppose, a possibility, and maybe Salazar. Salazar being the younger of the two, so he has the full 6 years of control left, and he debuted this year. So. And all those young guys came up this year and pitched really well, so kind of peaked their value given their age. So, you know, like I said, Cleveland needs some outfield help, but my guess is they're not going to sell out young pitching to get a center fielder. They're going to need a center fielder, but to me, like, it makes a lot more sense to sign a veteran that can play the position than to dump your 25-year-old starter to try to fill center field. But that my guess is that they're shopping, but they're going to need a lot in return to snag one of these guys away.
Yeah. So those are, I guess, just some of the Cubs options. There may be some other ones out there. So what do you guys think the Cubs will or should do?
It's tough. I think what they will do is sign David Price. That's what I think will happen. The stars seem to be aligning.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think an expensive guy like Price and then some cheaper guys to fill out the depth in the rotation. So I would expect one more, you know, Price and then one more signing. Maybe like Taylor says in the chat, maybe like Jeff Samardzija to go along with Price. I don't see them signing two like top tier guys, but like Price and like a mid level starter, I could see.
Yeah.
And I think it would be reasonable. Sorry.
To me, it would be Price and like maybe a older, less kind of like a rehab kind of guy like they've done in the past. So you get your top guy and then you fill in with a few.
How would you guys feel about them bringing Cahill back?
I was just going to say slide Cahill in there.
No, seriously. I mean, why not try to see if he can make it as a starter again? Dude's only 28.
Yeah, I'm.
I mean, I think he could have the shot.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind letting him. I mean, I really liked what they did there towards the end of the season by taking a lot of pressure off the bullpen by having former starters to use in the bullpen and really eat up some innings and stuff, especially when, you know, they're in September or in October and in the playoffs with a quick hook on the starter. So I don't, if you have the situation that they have right now, I mean, why not let Cahill compete with Hamill and Hendricks and whoever for the fifth spot, fourth, fifth. Yeah. I think you put him, give him a shot. And if it doesn't work out, you just use him in the bullpen again.
Right. And he's not going to be super expensive, I wouldn't think.
His option, I just looked it up. His, I got to scroll. Sorry. His team option or his, yes, $13 million.
A little bit more expensive than I expected, but not, yeah. But yeah. Not.
13 and a half in 2017.
Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, that is a bit steep, maybe for a chance at making.
But it would be interesting. But you know what? That's where I think like we can't make that decision, really. You know what I mean? Like I think you go to people like Bazio and see what he thought, what he thinks he could do with them.
Yeah. Well, and I think regardless of what they do with like a price or like one more elite starter, they definitely need more starting depth to go into the spring training, because last year we talked about how many pitchers that could potentially make the staff. Mm-hmm. And that worked out in their favor because, you know, like Turner didn't pan out and, you know, a lot of things happened that they ended up with a pretty solid rotation, but you have to have depth to get there. Well, and right now they don't have the starting rotation depth.
Well,
they did. So
other than like Lester kind of starting the season, not completely healthy, the rotation was healthy. And I mean, you mentioned Jacob Turner, but I mean, he was kind of an unknown anyway. But I mean, if you look at Hendricks Hamill, I guess, wasn't totally healthy either. But Arrieta and Lester and Hendricks, I mean, those guys were healthy. And it's possible, you know, you can easily lose a pitcher for a very long period of time, especially like for anything. I mean, look at Wainwright, you know, he had a pop fly and ended up missing almost all the season. So I guess that's one reason that I would like to see the Cubs go get somebody like David Price, just to kind of be there in case one of your other top starters suffers an injury. But really, I'm not going to be upset with whatever the Cubs do. I'm not going to be upset if they overpay, because that's what this team is now set up to do. That's what they did with Lester. The contracts that they do have right now are team friendly. Everybody's making peanuts, you know, all these rookies. And then you have added revenue from Wrigley Field. Potentially the Cubs TV network will be in place when everybody's making more money. I'm also not going to be upset if the Cubs don't make a big splash, because I think that the front office is still about being responsible and only making deals that make sense. But that said, next year's free agent class is not overly impressive, and that might force their hand to overpay a bit this year, and that could drive up the price of the cost. I shouldn't say price, with David Price being in the mix, but
no, that's confusing.
It could drive up the cost of all the free agents, really. So I don't think the offseason is a failure if they don't get David Price. If they get him, great. If they don't, I'd be happy with Zimmerman or Samardzija, maybe a pitcher or two acquired in trades, like the Indians, you know, Carrasco and guys where the Cubs would have a few years of control. I don't know, and I kind of do feel that that's the way the Cubs will go. I for some reason, I just don't think that they'll get Price.
The Zimmerman kind of route, right? Is that what you think? Or like, yeah, a cheaper,
like Zimmerman, Samardzija, and then maybe try to acquire a couple pitchers. Obviously,
I agree that I wouldn't be super disappointed with that route, because it's, I think, especially given the, you know, the sabermetric qualities of this front office, that you're just trying to gain wins, you know?
Right. And
so Dave, maybe David Price gives you 5 or 6 wins at the top of the rotation, but maybe you, if you don't sign him, you can sign two to three war players. And you know what I mean? Like you right. have a more consistent 1 through 5 rotation than a top heavy rotation.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just a lot of ways to get to that win total. And of course it's all on paper, but you know, we'll see.
That's where the game's played, is on paper.
That's right. It's where we play it.
No,
I agree. That's how I give out awards. They're just pieces of paper.
I agree with you. Of course, I would like to see Jeff Samardzija back on the team. But I really do think that's a real possibility. I think he works well with, you know, Bazio, and I think that they could end up getting him at a price. Well, I think they could if it was somewhat of a long-term deal. I think they could get him at the price that they offered him when they were talking extensions with him, and he turned it down. That was 5 years, $75 million. And if you look at what he's projected to get in the open market, it's right there. That's what Dave Cameron from Fangraphs projected him to get. And at the time when he turned that down, he wanted 6 years and 105. And so I just think it would be pretty awesome if the Cubs could actually get him at what they offered him.
I think he got a little full of himself.
Right. There. But you know, if you look at it and it's like, well, that resulted in Addison Russell and Billy McKinney. And so I think it would be great if they ended up with Addison Russell and getting Samardzija with what they offered him originally.
Oh, and Hamill. They got Hamill back too.
Right. But yeah, so if I had to pull a prediction out of my butt, I'd say that the Cubs get either Zimmerman or Samardzija and then trade for younger pitchers. And if that happens, then you'll definitely hear the cries about how cheap Ricketts is, and you'll hear how the Cubs can't bring in top free agents. And the nice thing is we'll be provided with a slew of internet muscle flexes.
Yes. And those are the same people that in 2020 or 2021 are going to be so mad if a player's making like $30 million.
Right. Yeah.
And he's 38, 37.
Yeah. I think this has been such a fun thing to watch this front office work and look like it's been really fun to watch them build this incredible organization that they've built. And so that's where like whatever direction they decide to go, I'm totally fine with because they know way more than I do. And I'm just along for the ride and I'm here to sit back and look at the things like, you know, the trade that brought Arrieta and the trade that brought Addison Russell. And, you know, it's like, as long as they keep working their magic, I don't really care what they do with free agents or anything. So.
Well, here's an impromptu question for you. Is Jorge Soler and or Javier Baez on the team next year?
I could easily see one of those guys being gone. Been multiple sources talking about the Cubs are willing to part with them for pitching that would be about the same age as them and of similar quality, you know, if you can equate those two, which is pretty nebulous, I guess. But I could easily see at least one of those guys being gone.
Which one do you think is more likely to be gone?
Probably given the infield situation, I'd maybe Baez.
But at the same time, if they do work a trade with like Cleveland, it'd be Soler.
Sure.
You know, they need an outfielder, so it fit. I mean, it's hard to predict because it depends on who you're dealing with. But I agree with what Andy said that like your infield depth is huge, so it'd be easy to see something like that happening with Baez.
I think it would be more. I think Soler would be more likely to be traded, but yeah, like you said, Kurt, it just depends on who they're working a deal with.
I think we'll see at least one of them go.
Yeah,
and tears will be shed. No, just
all right. Well, we would like to hear what you think will happen. And here's what you should do: call our voicemail line and leave a message, and we will play them at the end of our next episode. So tell us what you think the Cubs will do with starting pitching this offseason. Tell us what you want them to do. Tell us, you know, who you think they should give up and if they should trade prospects. And here's how you can do it. If you have the free Ivy Envy iOS and Android app, then open it up. Well, first off, if you don't have the free Ivy Envy iOS or Android app, I don't know why you don't have it, because it's free. So then open it up, tap on contact, and then tap on call the show and leave a voicemail. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can also call directly, and it's 309-517-0624. That's 309-517-0624. So tell us what you think they will do, what they should do, just anything involving pitching free agents. We want to hear your thoughts. Kurt, we kind of talked about not doing scary stats in the off season. I actually kind of came up with one. And did you have one this week?
I don't. I quit looking for them.
Okay, so here's my, well, this isn't one that like is, this is not baseball related. It's a scary stat that's not baseball related. My math might be wrong here, but I believe that when we started this podcast, Addison Russell was a freshman in high school.
That sounds plausible. Because he's still like just like a college graduate age.
Right, I know. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man.
Crazy. That's my scary stat of the week. We've been doing this too long.
That's freaky.
Okay, so did you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I do.
I poked around for one for a long time, and I started looking at the Dodgers Instagram when I caught wind of Cubs fans going on there. And I thought it was hilarious. This guy put on the Dodger Instagram, my Cubs are going to beat those cheese heads on Thanksgiving Day, like on the Dodgers Instagram page. Or no, my Bears. I'm sorry, I say Cubs. My Bears are going to beat those cheese heads on Thanksgiving Day on the Dodgers Instagram. on a post about Scott Van Slyke driving in a walk-off run. Yeah. In May. Oh, man. Okay, yeah, so in short, I didn't find any other than that one.
Oh, man.
I have one.
Okay.
It's pretty, mine's pretty tame, because I opted for the tame because on some of them it got a little ugly, and it wore me down.
Man, I had a really good one, and now I can't.
More positive, given that it's been a rough week.
I had a really good one, and now I can't find it. But I do have, okay, I have two actually, Kurt. So how about I'll give one.
Okay.
And then I cannot believe I had a great one, and now I cannot find it.
Zero.
Shoot. Okay, well, here's the first one. Sorry. I screenshot all mine with my phone, so I have to go back and find it. The first one says, okay, I can't even remember. Oh, this was a picture of Arrieta. You know, it was about him winning the Cy Young. There's actually two on this one. The first one says, the guy just says malarkey. And then the other one says, I'm going to edit this. I'll make it tame, safe for work, safe for kids in the car if you have them. This one says, F it, he can go play for the Expos. It's like, what does that mean?
Oh, man.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, mine has a mild swear in it too, but it's not that one. But this is some person, you know how people tag other people like their friends, and it tagged his friend or her friend and said, look at those hipster ass glasses, Tim. You think this guy's gonna win you a World Series? I just thought that was good, given that somebody thought your glasses were like Madden's.
I was trying to be cute with them, remember?
Yeah, you're cute.
Okay. Oh, actually, okay. Okay, I've got a couple here. Never mind. I changed my mind. Okay, I'm just going to do the one. Okay, so the first person says, okay, this one is for from the Jake Arrieta picture where they announced that he won the Cy Young. And the first person says, watch me win. Watch me nay nay, watch me win win. And then the person comments to that and says, such a white comment with a frowny face.
That is a pretty white comment.
Oh, man. Yeah. Man, I can't. I had a great one, and I cannot find it. I'm kind of bummed out about it. Andy, you said you didn't have one.
No, I don't. And I just realized how loud my furnace is when it kicks on down here. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that other than freeze in the winter.
Hey, you know what? It's the sacrifices that we make to be podcasters.
Freezing in the off season. Right.
And then sweating it out in the summer, so our air conditioner isn't running. So because we're recording this later in the week, we have an episode in like 4 days. And so I was thinking maybe we should just do like a listener question episode. What do you guys think? I mean, chances are there's not going to be anything huge happening with the Cubs in the next 4 days. There's no more awards to win.
Yeah, they're not eligible for the MVP, right? Unfortunately. So I was hoping we could talk about that.
So yeah, I was thinking maybe we could just do a listener question episode. So you can email them to me, Corey@ivmv.com. You can leave them in through our app. You can leave a voicemail with them, or leave them. I'll ask for them on our Facebook page, or you can tweet them to us @ivmv. However you want to get them to us, just do it. And I was thinking that maybe we could, since it's the off season, like of course we would love questions about the Cubs, but maybe we could take some like non-Cubs, non-baseball questions too, just for the fun of it.
Be fun to get some voicemails too.
Yeah. So really, like any question you want to ask.
We used to talk about Amazon a lot. We don't do that much anymore.
That's true. Thanks for bringing up Amazon. You can go to ivmv.com and do your, click on the Amazon link on the side of the page. Because Black Friday's coming up, Cyber Monday. Yeah, definitely do that. So send us your questions. Cubs, non-Cubs, baseball, non-baseball, whatever you want. Just send them to us, leave voicemails, and we will play those and read those on the next episode Sunday night, and we'll do that. Sounds like fun. Be a lighthearted episode, I think. So that does it for this episode. This was made possible by all 122 of our Patreon supporters. And those that support at the associate producer level are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, Tristan Nichols, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. If you would like to help us pay the podcasting bills and keep this podcast improving, you can check out our Patreon campaign, and you can make monthly pledges. They start at just $1 a month, just pocket change, really, and there's perks at every level. Go to patreon.com/ivmv. So thank you for listening, and we will be back Sunday evening. And until then, go Cubs!